Well, welcome everybody to 40 Days of Prayer. This is the first day of our 40-day journey, and so I welcome you and glad that you're here. No matter what campus you're at, no matter if you're online or watching the podcast, wherever you are, we're glad that you are a part of this journey with us. I want to start this journey by asking you this question. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Does prayer really work? Can you talk to God and God actually move? Now, some of you would say, I'm not sure I believe that that really works. I would say, why not? You say, because there was a time when I prayed and I asked God to let me marry a particular person and God didn't answer. But you know what? That particular person you may have been praying to marry was sitting in their dorm room or their apartment saying, oh God, whatever you do, please don't make me marry that guy, right? So maybe she would say prayer does work. Some of you would say, well, you know, prayer has worked before because all of us have asked God to let the Saints win the Super Bowl. And it happened once, right? A long time ago. But other than that, the Saints are just the ants, right? I mean, they just find a way to let you down time and again. So maybe you think, well, you know, prayer's kind of like, you know, you're wishing, you're hoping, but I'm not sure that I would say prayer really works. But there are some of us here today who would say, without equivocation, prayer works. It's not that the prayer is powerful, it's that God is powerful, and whenever we learn to pray rightly, God does things, okay? As a church family, several weeks ago, one of our members, a guy in our church family, was struggling. He's battling with alcohol addiction. His wife showed up at church on a Sunday and was crying. He had fallen off the wagon. He was drinking while she was at church. He was getting his drink on, and it had just been a bad few days. And so at the end of that service, I felt compelled to just call our church family at the end of an 11 o'clock service, just, hey, would you pray? So at the res campus, everybody at the 11 o'clock service, we just prayed for this guy by name. And I was a little bit worried, you know, if I tell his name, would we get sued or could he get mad? But at the end of it, it didn't really matter. He was in trouble. He was under spiritual attack, and we prayed for him. And we prayed specifically about the situation, and we asked God to free him, to defend him, to do battle on his behalf. We even prayed, God, just make him sick so he can't drink anymore. Well, the prayers somehow worked. Okay, and when I talked to this guy a week or so later, he told me, he said, Chip, it was unbelievable, man. When I woke up that Monday morning, it was like I couldn't put any more alcohol in my body. It just made me sick. And I was like, boom, because that's what we prayed, right? There's power in prayer. Okay? Now, I could tell you about Dr. Missy McMinn, who goes to church with you as well. She's an OBGYN doctor. She has a strong practice, but for years she has battled with back problems. She's had three procedures. Her back was not getting any better. She had to wear a back brace 8 to 18 hours a day. She could no longer stand up for long periods. She couldn't exercise at all. She couldn't climb the stairs to kiss her kids goodnight. It was just ruining every part of her life, and she called our elders and said, pray for me. James 5 says, if you're sick, call the elders, let them anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll pray for you and you'd be made well. And if you have sins, you can confess them, and God'll hear it and heal you. So in the midst of that, she called our elders. Our elders talked with her, heard her, shared some things that we sensed God was saying about her and her life, anointed her with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and prayed. And that was 18 months ago in June of 2016. Today, Dr. McMinn can run 3 miles with no pain, doesn't wear a back brace, didn't have the surgery she was intending to have, didn't have to give up her practice. She can climb the stairs at night and kiss her kids goodnight. She has her life back. And she would say, it's because God answers prayer, okay? He answers when we pray. I could tell you about Jeff Redding, who was at one time our campus pastor in Madison at our first campus that we launched. He was there as the campus pastor. And when we started doing what was then called, and even still is called, the P28 Challenge, now we're going to extend that by 12 days this year. You're going to get a P40 Challenge. But at that time, it was the 28 days of February, was a P28, Pray for 28-Day Challenge. He had this guy in the congregation named Josh, and he said, Josh was just on my heart. His life was just a wreck. He was battling addiction. He was losing his job. He was losing his marriage. His finances were in the tank. Everything about him was a mess. And Jeff said, I prayed for him for 28 days and nothing happened. He said, all the way around the next year, his life just seemed to go from bad to worse. But when P28 rolled around the next year, I prayed for Josh again. And part of my prayer was, God, just get him to church on Easter. And Josh came to church on Easter and God began to move in his heart. Eventually, he gave his life to Christ. The addiction was broken. His marriage was restored. He got a good job, and God is using that guy in a significant way. Not long ago, there was a tragedy in Clinton, and Josh, who is a part of leading teenagers in that community, stood at a funeral service and spoke about the power and the faithfulness of God to a bunch of kids to encourage them. And Jeff said, all I could think about was how God had answered his P28 prayer and brought him a long way. Now, listen, that should encourage any of y'all, because if y'all know Jeff Redding, if God will answer Jeff, he'll answer anybody, right, whenever you pray. Now, that's what I want to say to you. God answers prayer. If you're prayerless, you're going to be powerless. But if you become prayerful, I'm convinced you can become powerful. No matter how old or young you are, no matter where you are in life, no matter where you are in your faith journey, if you can learn to be prayerful, you can become very powerful in the kingdom of God. God loves to hear and answer the prayers of his children. Now, what I'd like to do prayerfully over the next 40 days, 6 weeks worth of messages, is to teach you how to pray. A lot of us don't pray because we don't know how. You never really learned, and so I want to teach you to pray. Okay, I want to inspire you to pray. I pray that somehow the Spirit of God is going to begin to stir within you to pray about something, and you begin to sense God's nearness, and you're not going to be just be inspired to pray as you see people's prayers answered and yours answered. You're going to have a passion to pray. And then as a consequence of you being inspired to pray, you're going to see God answer, okay? You're going to learn to pray, be inspired to pray, and see God answer. That's what I hope happens to in your life. Now, it's a 40-day journey, and we're choosing 40 days because God does significant things, it seems in the Bible, when you concentrate yourself for 40 days, okay? Somehow, in the Bible, when somebody did something for 40 days, God got moved, okay? Or God moved in a 40-day period. The first time that I can see that is in Genesis 7, where the Bible says God sent rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and he flooded the earth. The Bible tells us that past that, when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, guess how long he was on the mountain? 40 days. He's up there 40 days. The giant Goliath taunted the armies of Israel for 40 days, and then David showed up and showed him who was really the man, right? That God was in control here. Elijah had a 40-day experience. Jonah had a 40-day experience when he preached at Nineveh. Jesus, before his ministry started, Jesus was in the wilderness. Guess how long? 40 days. 40 days and nights praying and fasting. Something happens in 40-day increments. When Jesus was resurrected from the grave, he appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days. 40 days. So I'm asking you, would you come along with us? I'm asking you personally. I'm not asking your wife. I'm not asking your kids. I'm asking you, dog. I'm not asking your husband, I'm not asking your mom and them, I'm asking you. God is asking you, would you come along for 40 days and see God do something in you, through you, and around you that maybe you never thought possible but could change the rest of your life? 40 days. Part of this 40-day challenge that I want to issue to you is that you would learn to pray the Word of God. If you want to, we have available for you a packet of Bible verses that will coincide with the themes I'm going to teach you when it comes to prayer, okay? We're going to learn from the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, 6 keys to powerful prayer. And with each one of those, each theme, this week it'll be love, there'll be a week's worth of verses about love. And you'll pray one. We've already done it today, okay? Zephaniah 3:17. We've already had that verse prayed over us. If you want to pray a verse a day, get a pack on your way out, okay? A second thing that you can do, I'm asking you in this 40-day challenge, is to ask God to give you one thing to pray about, right? It was a P28 challenge where you're getting 12 extra days, a P40 challenge. For the next 40 days, would you ask God to give you one thing to pray about for 1 minute at 1 o'clock every day? We'll give you a little wristband. If you haven't already gotten one, you can get one on the way out. And that'll remind you to pray. You can set an alarm on your phone, 1 o'clock, pray for your one thing, okay? Have you ever prayed for something 40 straight days? Hey, look, God's going to show you, and I guarantee you, you're going to learn how to pray, and the way you're going to pray today is not the way you're going to be praying in 40 days. God's going to change your world. He's going to change your prayer life in these 40 days. Last thing I want to ask you to do is, would you consider praying for 1 hour? For 1 hour, somewhere in the next 40 days, would you go online to our website, pinelake.org, and choose? There's a place for you to choose to pray for an hour. Somewhere in the 24-hour span, you can just pick 1 hour to pray. And my hope is that we would cover every hour between now and the time 40 days of prayer is over, that somebody from our church family would be talking to God, keeping the oil of the presence of the Lord burning among us. Would you do that? You think, man, I can't pray for 5 minutes. We're going to give you a tool that'll help you to pray for an hour. So that's the challenge, okay? God wants to do something in your life over the next 40 days. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. This is where we're going to be camping out. We're going to camp out at this place where Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. And what we're going to find is it's more of a model prayer than it is the Lord's Prayer as we walk through it over the next several weeks. Jesus locates this prayer, Matthew does in his gospel, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was teaching his disciples about what the kingdom of God looks like and what it calls for and how it can be released in and through our lives. And so, listen, this isn't about having church. This is about you experiencing the kingdom of God. And so Jesus was teaching, and this is what he says about praying in the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, I want to start in verse 5, okay? This is what it says in verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Jesus said, listen, you're not talking to people when you pray. Did you see that? If you're just praying so people will notice, that's all you're ever going to get. Verse 6. But when you pray, not if, but when you pray, you go into your inner room, you shut the door, and you pray to your Father. I want everybody to circle that word Father in your Bible. Your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret. He will hear you. He will reward you. And when you are praying, not if you're praying, but when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. In other words, saying the same thing over and over and over again. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. So pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven. I'm going to stop right there. And I want to talk with you today about the primary key, the first key of learning to pray in a powerful, powerful way is to learn to pray to your Father. Learning to pray to your Father who loves you is the first key to transforming your prayer life. God wants to change the way you view him and change the way you view yourself and change the way you even view prayer. And what Jesus taught that was revolutionary is that God is expecting you to pray. Everybody knew that. He's expecting you to pray. But when you pray, it's not saying stuff that everybody else likes. It's not just wearing God down with the same old stuff that you don't believe and you're not really meaning. You're just saying it because that's what you've always said. Your prayer is to focus on God in a secret place. Not praying like we learned to pray when we were kids. If your mom and dad prayed for you, that's how you learned to pray, and you probably pray like they do. Until you get around somebody else who knows how to pray, and then you want to learn to pray like they learned to pray. That's why Jesus' disciples said to him, hey, teach us how to pray like you pray. They had heard him. He prayed like nobody else. Teach us how to pray like that. Now, here's what I want to say to you. If you learn to pray as a little kid, that is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing that was modeled for you, but here's the danger of it. The danger of it is what becomes important is that we say the things that our parents said. We pick up things that we hear other people praying, and so we start to say those things. And so our prayer, the challenge of our prayer becomes, can we pray a good prayer? Y'all know what I'm saying? I want to pray a good prayer. And if you can't pray a good prayer, you don't want to pray in public. Or you don't want to pray out loud. It intimidates you. And what I want you to see that Jesus was saying is, it's not about praying a good prayer. It's not about using spiritual words or a lot of words over and over again. When you pray, talk to God. So can I ask you a question? When you're praying, saying the blessing, praying at night, whatever it is, are you really conscious that in that moment you were talking to the King of Heaven? Or do you just pray? Do you understand the difference? Do you understand there's a danger in just praying? Great prayer, awesome prayer, theologically accurate, on point, quoted a couple Bible verses in there, extra credit. But were you talking to God or were you just praying? Come on, somebody feel me right now? Were you just praying or were you really talking to God? Your Heavenly Father wants you to learn to talk to Him. Prayer is expected, but it's to God. And it flows. Prayer is going to flow. This is what you're going to learn. Prayer flows from a relationship. Too many of us don't pray, partly because we don't know how to pray, but secondly, because we don't really have a right understanding of who God is. Your view of God is jacked up, so your prayer life's a mess or non-existent. A lot of people here, this is not judgmental. Let's just be reality. Let's just see if maybe you find yourself in here. Your view of God, if I were to say, what's God like? Your view of God is, well, God's kind of like a grumpy judge. All right, he's really holy, he's really radical, but he can be really mean, and he reminds me of all my screw-ups, and his favorite word is no. Because I ask, and he says no a lot. Okay, now listen, that's a jacked-up view of God. But for some of you, if you were honest, you'd say, you know, I kind of feel that way, that whenever I come to God, I feel like, man, I'm just reminded of what a loser I am, and I just don't feel like he's ever going to tell me yes. Some of you, your view of God is he's disinterested. I mean, God's so big, he's so far off, he's got so much better things to do than me. So whenever you pray, it's like, it's kind of like, I wish. Your prayers are more like, I wish. But you're not really talking to a God who's intimate and with you. It's a jacked up view of God. Some of you pray to a God who is a figment of somebody else's imagination. He ain't real, but it couldn't hurt. I mean, those people at church are praying, man, I might as well just throw one up. You never know what might happen. And if that's your view of God, that maybe God's a figment of somebody else's imagination or your imagination, listen, I want you to know that's a jacked up view of God. God's real. He wants to show himself to you in the next 40 days in a way that'll blow your mind, tangibly present with you. Some of you think God's like Shark Tank. I'm not a real big Shark Tank watcher, but I've watched it a few times. But this is the way I think some of us approach God. We've got this idea that we think is a good idea, and so we come into God's Shark Tank presence, and we try to convince God to go in with us. Come on, anybody feel me? It's a stupid idea, but if you're trying to sell him and at least get something out of God, that is a jacked up view of God. Jesus doesn't teach you that God is like that. What does Jesus say that God is? He says, when you pray, pray this way, Our Father. When you pray, don't pray in public. You pray to your Father who's in secret. Whenever you go in that secret place, your Father hears you. Your Father will reward you. Now, I want you to know that was absolutely revolutionary for Jesus to teach people in his day this concept that God was Father. And it may be earth-shattering and groundbreaking for your prayer life to hear the same thing. In the Old Testament, God is only called Father 14 times. Okay, thousands of verses, hundreds of chapters, 14 times God is called Father, and never personally for anybody. It's always God is the Father of Israel. Okay? There were steps taken to guard the holiness of God. He was so transcendent, so holy, so powerful, so other than us. You couldn't even say his name. Right? When Jesus was walking the earth, the Jewish people had put a border around the covenant name of God, which is Yahweh. Okay, it's all consonants in Hebrew. Yahweh, they had put such a border around it that you couldn't say the name Yahweh for fear of mispronouncing it and dishonoring God. So what they did was they took another Hebrew word, Adonai, and took the vowels out of that word, put them into the word Yahweh, and they came up with the word Jehovah. Now, some of y'all have heard of Jehovah. Can I just tell you, that word is not in the Bible. That's not the way God has revealed himself to us. God revealed himself as Yahweh, and so this border was around the name of God. He was real holy and real out there, but when Jesus came, he started calling God Daddy. He talked to God. He called God in prayer every time. In the Gospels, over 60 times, he calls him Daddy. There's only one time when Jesus addresses God as something other than Daddy, and that's when he's on the cross, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? But in that instance, he's quoting Psalm 22. Every other time, Jesus teaches us and models us that we are to approach God as Daddy, as Abba, Father. Now listen, God wants you to experience him in that same way, that you would begin to experience God as your Father. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, not my Father, Our Father. Jesus was inviting his disciples. Jesus is inviting you into a relationship with God, with Yahweh. with the covenant God, with Adonai, with El Elyon, the Most High, and El Shaddai, the Most Mighty. He's inviting you into that relationship where you get to now call God Daddy. It's a word of intimacy. That's the idea, is that prayer is an invitation for you to have an intimacy with God. God's not far off and distant, and he's not so preoccupied and busy that he doesn't have time for you. God isn't begrudging and constantly disappointed with you. God's your daddy, and he lives inside of you. He makes you his son or daughter when you say yes to his grace by faith. The Bible tells us in Galatians 4, verse 6, but you are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, I want you to see this. I'm going to draw you three circles. Is that okay? Y'all are like, oh my gosh, again, three circles? Yeah, but three different circles this time, okay? I'm going to die one day, and somebody at my funeral is going to draw three circles, and that's going to be fine with me. I'm good with it. Because I want you to know, if you don't get anything else from me, that you're called to live a Jesus-centered life where your salvation, your identity, your life, and your authority are all found in Christ. All right? Now, today I'm going to show you your identity in Christ. Three circles, you've seen it before. Everybody here has a body. Some people's bodies are bigger than others, right? But this is your body. Inside your body, there is a soul, okay? The non-material part of you, your intellect, emotion, and will, your soul. And inside of that, the Bible tells us that there is a spirit, that you were created in God's image to have spiritual relationship with God. Your body is where you're conscious of the world. It's everything that you touch, feel, your five senses, all that. Your soul is where you are self-conscious, where you think and where you act and desire and things like that. You're in touch with yourself. Your soul can be jacked up, and it is. Your soul is eternal. God came to ransom it. Okay? But you also have a spirit. And the Bible tells us the spirit is that place where you were made to commune with God. Now, here's the problem. The problem is, whenever you sinned, your spirit got jacked up. As a matter of fact, your spirit died. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Okay? Now watch this. The Spirit is the place of faith and prayer and communing with God. So watch this. If your spirit is not alive, if you are without Christ, you don't have any capacity to have relationship and fellowship with God, and God does not hear your prayers. Jesus came to pay for your sin, conquered death, resurrected, was ascended into heaven, and now when you say yes to his sacrifice and his grace to you, and you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, take over my life, I give you my life, he gives his life back to you, his spirit comes to live inside of you, and now all of a sudden, you have a capacity. You have a capacity now to talk to God again. If you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you will never be able to have your prayers answered. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody's coming to the Father but by me. But listen, here's what I want you to hear. Because you have Christ, you have capacity now to talk to God, your Father. And he's not far off. He's inside of you. You get to cry out, Daddy. He's your dad. You're born again spiritually. God has given you life. Now listen, God wants to teach you. He wants to change and shatter your understanding of who he is. He's not far off. He's not begrudging. He's not mean-spirited. He's not capricious. He's not back and forth. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. God is your daddy. And the essence of prayer is for you to learn to have an intimacy with him. So can I ask you, all right, let's just be honest for a second. Would you characterize your prayer life, if you were to give it some words, some descriptors, would you have as one of the descriptors of your prayer life, intimacy? Because if intimacy is not a word that you would say between you and God, that man, I know God and God knows me and I talk to God and God talks to me and I actually enjoy God. If you wouldn't say intimacy is a part of your prayer life, maybe that's the problem. You haven't learned to pray like Jesus is going to teach you to pray. In these 40 days, Jesus wants you to learn how to pray from a place of intimacy with God, where you talk to him and you listen to him and where you enjoy him and where you begin to pray as God would have you to pray. Prayer flows from a relationship with your Father. God is your Father, and because He's your Father, it means three things. Number one, God loves you. Right? God loves you. If He's your Father, He gives Himself to you, it means that God loves you. You think, well, I don't know if God loves me or not. Let me give you the word of the Lord, right? 1 John 3:1, it says, see how great a love the Father has lavished or bestowed upon us that we would be called children of God. You get to be a child of God because God loves you. Not because you're worthy, not because you're good, not because you're whatever. God loves you. And so because He loves you, He lets you be called His child. Now listen, the enemy, your enemy, and even your flesh is going to war against that idea. You're going to struggle to believe that God really loves you. You're going to be reminded constantly of all the bad things you've done or the bad things you've thought of. And the enemy is going to try to keep you from knowing the love of God and that God wants to give above everything else. God wants to give Himself to you. The enemy and your flesh are going to war against that. Maybe even a memory of a bad earthly father will keep you from this. Maybe your earthly father wasn't great and that jades your view of God. Maybe he didn't ever make you feel loved, or maybe he was grumpy and hard to please or always angry or unpredictable and you never knew if you were going to get a big hug or a big backhand. But I want to say to you, Jesus is saying to you, your heavenly father is not like your earthly father. Your heavenly father is a perfect dad and he's filled with love for you and he feels positively about you and he sees you as his child and he wants what's best for you and he can't wait to bless you and to get to know you and for you to know him and to experience his love. I read this week Psalm 5, verse 7, because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. I will worship at your temple with deepest awe. Psalm 5, verse 12, for you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of what? Say it. Love. Right? With love. And I think that means that, listen, if your prayer life's going to be different, you're going to have to learn how to receive the love of God. How to wake up in the morning and say, God, you love me. How to start your prayer life, not by apologizing to God for being such a screw up, but by starting your prayer life by saying, God, you love me. You're my daddy. And I just receive your father love right now. Now that sounds like, in my opinion, okay, it can feel a little feminine. Okay, it can feel a little bit feminine that, oh, I'm just going to let God love on me for a minute. And some guys, you may bristle at that and think, man, I ain't doing that. That just feels weird. Okay, check this out. Every man here, every man listening, you want to be validated, don't you? You want to feel loved, don't you? You want to feel like the man, don't you? You want to feel like you got value and worth, don't you? Oh, yeah. Yes, you do. And you know what you do? You search for it from other men. You search for it in your job. You search for it from a woman who can validate you. Let me tell you something. You're trading those people for the very one who wants to tell you, bro, I love you and I got you and I'm crazy about you. You're the man in my eyes. That's what God wants to say to you. If Jesus needed to hear the Father say to him, you are my beloved son and in you I am well pleased. Let me tell you, there ain't nothing sissified or feminine about you saying, God, you love me. I'm your boy. I'm your boy. God, I need actually for you to validate me. I need for you to cover me with love so that I don't have to have it from some woman. I don't have to have it from some boss. I don't have to have it from some other person. God, you love me. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. He just loves you. Receive that. It changes the way you see yourself and the way you see God, and it changes the way you pray. God loves you. He's your daddy. You got to get comfortable saying, you know what? God's my daddy. Who's your daddy? God's my daddy. Ain't nobody else my daddy but God. And he loves me. And I need to hear him say he loves me every day. So God, you love me. God, because you're my daddy, you hear me. Part of what God does as your daddy is he hears you. There are times whenever you don't feel like God hears your prayers. Can I get an oh me or an amen or something out of that? I mean, don't you feel that way? I mean, haven't there been times whenever you pray and you go, man, this ain't even getting out the room. This ain't even getting out of the car. It's not even making it out. Why am I even doing it? I'm wasting my time. I feel foolish even talking. Come on, y'all know you feel that way. But Jesus is teaching us that the Father, verse 6, the Father sees everything, even in private, even in the dark. He sees it all. Verse 8 says, he knows what you need even before you ask him. Let me translate that for you. You may not be able to see God, but God sees you. You may not be able to hear God all the time, but God always hears you. Now, track with this. This is going to change your prayer life. He's my daddy. He loves me, and he does hear me whenever I call to him. I am amazed at the capacity of a mother to hear her child's voice. I think it starts whenever that child is maybe even in utero, but certainly whenever that baby is born and brought forth into this earth, that mama has a frequency she can pick up. That child's cry begins, it's just a frequency in her ear that she can hear. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Look, that child can start whimpering or crying in the middle of the night, and the mama will say, honey, you hear that? And the man say, no. Right? I don't hear that. I sure don't. I don't hear nothing. Right? But that bond, that frequency becomes so tuned that I've seen mamas in the middle of loud gyms or out at football fields or crowded, noisy places, and she'll just be yep, talking to her friends, and all of a sudden, somebody's kid will start crying, and she can hear that cry. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? She can hear that cry, and not only can she tell if it's her kid or not, she can tell if it's a I got hurt cry, I'm mad cry, I'm lost cry. Come on, girls, y'all know y'all can do that. What is that? There's something about the relationship that you have formed where you know your child's voice. Now, let me tell you something. God hears his children's voice. He lives inside of you, and he wants to be intimate with you, and he loves you like crazy. And I'm going to tell you something. There ain't anything you're thinking he doesn't already know. There's nothing you're doing he doesn't already see. And on one hand, that scares you, but can I just say, let it transform your prayer life. God hears you. God hears you whenever you pray. Sometimes God hears you and he ain't listening. Here's what I mean by that. You're asking for stuff. You're asking for stuff, and God's like, you're crazy. I am not giving you that. I'm not. Have your kids ever asked you for something and you're like, that ain't happening? Come home, let's go, Daddy, I want a Corvette. No. Daddy, I want a cat. Heck no. Right? Come on. Y'all know there are times when you heard him, but I am not listening to that. God has the capacity to lovingly say, look, I hear you, but that ain't happening. Don't get mad about it. Keep praying. He'll show you something better. Okay? He hears you. Sometimes he ain't listening. Sometimes he hears you and he has to sort it out for you because you're talking, but you don't even know what you're saying. Your heart is so torn up, so overwhelmed that God hears you. And you know what? By his Spirit, Romans 8:26, by his Spirit, he can sort it out. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. You see, God's so intimate with you. That's what I want you to hear, fellas. God knows, man. He knows every struggle. He knows every desire. He knows every squashed and discouraged place in your heart. Don't be scared to say, God, I need you. Daddy, I need to talk to you. And God will hear you. And most of the time, God will give you an answer, sometimes immediately, certainly ultimately. God many times will answer your prayers. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, we're going to learn how to pray according to his will. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the request which we have asked for from him. God loves you. God hears you. And God answers you. He answers you. God loves to answer you, Jesus said. When you pray for other people's ears, that's all you're going to get. But if you'll talk to your daddy in private, if you'll genuinely, when you start praying, stop talking and start communing with God and having an intimate relationship with God and be aware that I'm actually talking to you, Jesus said, you will get a reward. God will hear your prayers and he will answer. Prayer works because your Father loves you. And the more you can wrap your mind and heart around that truth, then you'll begin to approach God from a place of being loved, not for love. You'll begin to approach God and make your request from a place of knowing that he loves you and wants to give what's best to you in your life. Then you're going to pray more powerfully and willingly, I think. I want to say to you that God answers not because your prayers are good. but because God's good. Can you agree with that? God's going to answer, not because the prayer was, man, that was off the chain, dog, what you just prayed. God's not like that. God answers not because the prayer was good. He answers because he's good. And God answers your prayer not because you're good, but because he's good. Now, we're going to learn there's something about bringing into alignment our heart and obedience with God that opens up the power of prayer. But God answers your prayers because he is good. Well, if God is so good, why doesn't he give me what I ask for every single time? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in the coming days. You're going to learn that prayer isn't getting your will done in heaven. It's getting heaven's will, God's will done on earth. You're going to learn that many times prayer will change something in you before it changes something around you. And we're going to learn to pray in faith and with a surrendered heart toward God that is forgiven and free. But God promises if you ask, it'll be given to you. You seek and you will find. You knock and I'll open. And he opens not just whenever the church is praying, not just when the elders are praying, and not just when campus pastors are praying. God answers when you pray. I want you to hear the testimony of Pat and Jeff, folks like you, sitting in church last year. They took the P28 challenge, and God showed up. Would you watch their story?
We met in college, got married about a year and a half later, and we've now been married for 9 years. We have 2 little boys. What really kind of attracted us to each other was where we were in our walks and our faith walk with God, and that was something we both desired in a relationship. And, you know, things were really good the first several years of our marriage, and then kids came along and life got hectic.
About 6 years into it, our love for each other, just kind of started drifting apart. We became easily frustrated with each other. I was so angry. I was frustrated. I'm fed up with this. I'm fed up with my marriage. I'm fed up with all of this. This is not what I signed up for whenever, I married Pat.
And I was just mean. In my heart, I was just mean. And I was judgmental of everything and everybody, and everything was everybody else's fault. We were both really contemplating the fact that maybe we didn't want to be married to each other anymore.
Early on in 2016, Pat started battling depression, and it only got harder and worse as the year went on. Ultimately, it caused a ton of frustration, a ton of anger. I wanted to fix her, but there was no way that I could fix her, and that was only something that the Lord could do.
I was starting to feel a little bit of stirring in my heart, prompting that I needed to take some steps towards changing some things in my life. So we started going to church on Wednesday nights, and then P28 started. And I felt led at the time, okay, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. But I'm going to set this alarm on my phone for 1 o'clock every day, and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pray to you, God, about our relationship and about Jeffrey.
Little did she know, I also accepted the P28 challenge and, committed to praying at 1 o'clock every day. We had not spoken to each other about, doing the P28 challenge. And so during that time, I would set my alarm as well, and I would take that time to pray for Pat, to pray for our marriage.
So initially, they were very basic prayers. Lord, help my husband, help our marriage, and, just help us to get through this and figure this out and save our marriage and save us. And as time went on, I felt prompting to pray for more. Lord, change me. Change what I'm doing, draw me closer to you so that I can love him more. And it started becoming less about God change the outside situation and more of God change my heart, change me.
I began early on praying, just for Pat. Our prayers changed to, God, not necessarily changing, Pat, but changing my heart too, And through all that, I was able to love Pat more.
It changed how I loved my spouse, and not only how I loved my spouse, but how I loved everybody.
Prayer saved our marriage. It saved our marriage. Don't worry about your situation. Don't worry about your circumstances. Nothing's too big for our God.
God's love really is unchanging. I see God now as my father, as my daddy that I can crawl up in his lap and just sit and tell him everything. And that closeness is, it just feels so good.
Amen. And maybe you're here today and you're just like Pat and Jeff and you need a miracle. Because if God doesn't show up, it's over. And I want to say to you, if you're prayerless, you're going to be powerless. But if you'll become prayerful, you can become powerful. God can do exceedingly abundant beyond all that you ask or even imagine, according to his power that lives in us. Would you step forward for 40 days and learn to pray not from your body, just with your mouth moving, not just from your mind, stuff you've said for years, but would you let God teach you to pray, Daddy? Would you let him draw you close and change you as you learn to pray? Maybe you'll say, God, I got one thing I'm going to pray about at 1 o'clock for 1 minute every day. Take that P40 challenge. God, I'm going to pick up some of those verses on the way out of church today. I'm going to pray those verses every single day. I'm going to start declaring your word over me and over my issue. God, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to pray for 1 hour. Sometime in the next 40 days, God, I'm going to pray for 1 hour and teach me to pray. Could we do that? Could we pray right now, even about our own hearts? Would you join me as we pray? Every campus, can we just say, Lord, we bless you. God, I thank you that you're patient with us. God, I thank you. There's an anticipation that, God, you're about to do something. Lord, I believe that in 40 days, God, you're going to show us new revelation of you. God, you're going to give us new instruction about following you. God, you're going to breathe new life and identity and power within us. God, you're going to change things. God, you're going to break some things that have been holding us back and locking us down. Jesus, you're about to release your spirit to us. You're going to teach us how to pray, God, and see heaven invade earth. God, you're going to restore things that have been destroyed. God, you're going to birth things that we never thought possible. Jesus, you are going to teach us how to pray. And Holy Spirit, you're going to empower us to pray with faith. Father, you're going to open the windows and doors of heaven and rain down upon us. And Jesus, we say to you, Father, we say to you, Spirit, we say to you, have your way. Teach us to pray. Prayer starts, Jesus said, right here. Daddy. Daddy. Would you, in this moment, would you receive the fact that God loves you? Would you just say to yourself, would you hear the Spirit of God say to you, I love you. God's saying, I love you. Would you just repeat, God loves me. He loves me. The Word said today, we saw it, God has lavished his love upon you, bestowed it on you. That's why you get to be called a child of God. God demonstrates his love for you while you're a sinner. He loves you, and Christ died for you. So would you just receive that right now? If you've never received the love of Jesus, if you've never given your life to Christ to turn away from your sin and to receive his Spirit into you, would you do it right now? Just tell him, God, I know I'm a messed up sinner. I deserve death. I'm not your child, but Jesus, you came to live and die for me, to pay for my sins, to give me life. Holy Spirit, fill my heart, make me alive. And Lord, I pray even as we're praying this, Lord, that you would release your Father love to us. God, show us, teach us to pray. In just a second, we're going to stand up and we're going to all sing a song that just says, I found a love that's greater than life itself. And I pray that you can sing that song from a heart of faith. Let it be true in your heart. And while we're doing that, there are going to be prayer ministers all over the room that if you have something you want to be prayed over or for, even on the first day of this journey, if there's something you want to be prayed with or prayed over about, whenever we stand up, you just step out and go ask them to pray with you. So, Father, we love you. Receive our worship. Jesus, we sing to you, but God, Zephaniah 3:17 says, you sing over us. And so, Lord, in this moment, as we commune with you, Lord, would you spiritually, supernaturally, God, would you change us? We love you. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.